God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
Love seeks unity and the good of the beloved. This is poles apart from anything that the world knows anything about. The world thinks of love in terms of romance, emotions, warm fuzzies, good feelings, stars and stripes forever, Roman candles going off. And they get married because they fall in love, and they get divorced because they fall out of love. And it hasn't got one single thing to do with the love described in Scripture, which is selfless love, self-giving love, self-sacrificing love. So if I truly love my husband, I have two aims always in mind: unity and his good. Never my own. Are you tempted to say, but what about my needs? Of course we're tempted to say that. But God has made it very clear in his word, we don't have any obligations whatsoever to ourselves. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, you owe it to yourself? You know, you owe it to yourself to do this, especially you middle-aged women, and I'm glad to see there's a few gray heads and white heads here. We're being told this all the time. You've done your job. You did your job now. Now you owe it to yourself to do whatever. Go on a cruise. Go back to school. Get a degree. Learn how to plant pole beans or do underwater macrame or whatever. You owe it to yourself. I can't find a shred of scripture that tells me that I owe myself one single thing. I owe everything to God, and I owe everything to everybody that I'm supposed to be loving. But I don't owe anything to myself. But if I start asking questions like, what about my needs, I'm already in trouble. Because what? The Bible has said, my God shall supply how much of your need? How much? My God shall supply all your need. That's the answer to your question. If you ask the question, what about my needs? The answer is very simple. A mother came to me and she said, what shall I say to my daughter who is going to divorce her husband because he's not meeting all her needs? Well, I said, first thing I'd do would be to ask the poor girl where in the world she ever picked up such a preposterous idea that any man from here to eternity could possibly meet all her needs. I mean, there ain't no such animal. I mean, there isn't a man in the world. And I speak as a woman who has had three husbands. If you don't know the truth, I hasten to tell you, both numbers 1 and 2 are with the Lord. But if I had all three of them simultaneously, they couldn't meet my needs. And that's the truth. Only God can do that. I'm not here to think about my own needs, what my husband is not doing for me, that old George does for Mary. I'm here to think, Lord, how can I respond in such a way as to bind us together in deeper harmony and deeper unity in Jesus Christ? Lord, show me what I can do to make my husband's life easier and pleasanter. You know, I have a lot of ideas about what my husband is supposed to do for me, and I got those ideas straight out of this book. But there isn't a place in this book that says, wives, make sure that your husbands lay down their lives for you as Christ laid down his life for his church. And there isn't a word in this book that says to Lars, make sure your wife obeys you. You know, there's a lot of confusion about those things. Yes, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And no husband in human history has ever succeeded in doing that perfectly. Yes, the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. And I don't think there's ever been a wife that has done that perfectly. So what have we got? A husband and a wife who are two sinners. two sinners who are supposed to live together and sleep together 365 days a year and get along and love each other. I am responsible for what God says to me. I'm not responsible to make my husband do what God says to him. He has to answer to God for that. I have to answer to God. Have I submitted to him graciously, gladly? And is my object unity and my husband's good? If I cannot answer those two questions honestly, then I don't really love my husband. And I need to pray that God will help me, that he will forgive me for being much more interested in my own good than in his, and for failing to contribute to his benefit and to his blessing. And if I think that my husband is not doing his job as God has outlined, what should I do? Go to him? Sit him down? Have a talk? Confront him? This is what I'm hearing all the time. I mean, this is what modern psychology tells you. You know, you've got to work through this. You've got to talk it out. You've got to lay it all out on the table. There comes a time for confrontation. Now, please don't come to me and say, you mean you don't believe in ever saying anything? You don't believe in any discussion? That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying, go first to God. Pray, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. And the chances are very good, I've discovered, probably about 95%, that very important talk that I was planning in my mind for hours last night is not going to be necessary. Because God is going to reveal things to me that I need to get straightened out. And by the time I get them straightened out, I will have forgotten all about that talk I was going to have with my husband. I'm telling you what I know from my own experience. When I ask God to show me how to seek unity, and how to contribute to the harmony and a deepening Christ-like relationship between Lars and me, and how I can best contribute to his blessing, there's usually quite a long list of things that I have to start doing before I can say a word to him. And so that kind of love is a gift and a sacrifice, and it is forgiving and constant and redemptive. A gift, a sacrifice, forgiving, constant, and redemptive. And if you want to know what God's love looks like, read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. And one time when I was irritated with my husband, I knew that I needed to reread this passage, and instead of the word love, I inserted the name Elizabeth. Elizabeth is patient. Elizabeth is kind. Elizabeth does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not rude, is not self-seeking. Elizabeth is not easily angered. Elizabeth keeps no record of wrongs. And it was just a hideous travesty. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's not natural love. This is the love on which the city of God is founded. This is the love by which a Christian family is shaped. So my gift of love is first to my husband. My gift, if I have children, is the gift of myself to my children, and I become a cooperator with God in giving life to a new person. What a mysterious and tremendous privilege it is as human beings to cooperate with God in the bringing into the world of another human soul. What an awesome responsibility. And you singles, again, I remind you, you are cooperators. You are spiritually fruitful, helping to realize and to bring into being the family of God, the family according to God's plan for the world. And in order to cooperate with God, I must align my will with His. I must sacrifice my will as Christ did and say, my life for yours. May God help us to love Him in that way.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.